0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the League Cup final at Hampden, which saw St Mirren lift the trophy and pile more misery on Celtic and Wilfried Nancy. Stephen Robinson and his team have become legends in Paisley, winning silverware for the first time since 2013. But where does this leave the new Celtic manager after just three games in charge? We could fill five shows with that, but if that's not enough, Rangers play Hibs tonight and Kilmarnock have sacked Stuart Kettlewell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday. It's usually Roger Hanna, but this man turned up, locked Roger Hanna in the cupboard and demanded that he speak tonight. It is Hugh Keevans.
And you'll find out why shortly. External joy at St Mirren, internal panic at Celtic. In this city, that means Ibrox should be rocking tonight because the team across the road are in real bother. But will Rangers drop the ball against Hibs?
The most commonly used phrase on a Monday night is, where do we start? How can we fit all this in two hours? But first and foremost, we certainly know where we're going to start. Congratulations to St Mirren. I thought they were absolutely excellent yesterday. And listen, on the other hand, Wilfried Nancy and Celtic, wow.
0141 951 1025. It is very, very simple. St Mirren fans, congratulations. How good was that? Celtic fans, commiserations. How bad was that? And where does it leave your new manager? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Set the tone quickly. We've got a lot to get through tonight. A stupid question. I ask a lot of stupid questions on this show. Result of the weekend?
Well, I have to go with St Mirren.
Funny that.
And many, many congratulations to them. They've only won five trophies in their entire history, and that must be the best win of the lot.
You need to pick something else, though.
Yeah, it's not quite as big, but I'm going to go for Aberdeen. You know, a lot of chat about Jimmy Teelan and his future at Aberdeen. That's now seven unbeaten. Fantastic win against Kilmarnock yesterday.
Goal of the weekend?
I'll take it away from Hampden and go Cameron Congreve, Dundee. The 2-2 draw with Marvin Bartley's Libby.
I'm going to go for Stephen Kingsley. He's got a fair catalogue, a goal, Stephen Kingsley, in his Hearts career. And that one certainly for me was right up there. Not an easy technique coming across your body like that. Catches it very sweet in a half volley near post. Scott Bain, no chance.
Howler of the weekend?
Well, it has to be Celtic. Celtic's manager, Celtic's players, they were a shambles. The extent to which the manager creates that shambles is what we'll investigate between now and 8 o'clock.
My vendetta against goalkeepers continues because I am going for John McCracken this week. I think it's very difficult to get nutmegged while standing up with your legs almost partially closed. And I don't know how that's managed to sneak its way into the near post.
And your top man, top performer of the weekend goes to
Stephen Robinson. If your club has only won five trophies in their entire history, you are now responsible for 20% of St Mirren's historical achievements. Well done, Stephen Robinson.
Mr. Ayunga, not only did he produce two goals that gets St Mirren their fifth major trophy in 148 years, but his overall contribution to the game, the amount of defensive work that he put in as a striker, I thought it was a complete performance, and he was thoroughly deserving of my performer of the weekend.
Come on down, 0141 951 1025. St Mirren fans, how many of you took the day off work, first of all? That's what I want to know. How much did you enjoy it? How good was it? What a moment, etc, etc. And on the other side, Celtic fans, where do you go from here? Let's speak to them. What a special call to kick us off. Oh. I hope he's not offended, though, that one of you went for Stephen Robinson as the main man and one of you went for Jonah Ayunga. On the line, we've got the man who got his hands on the trophy.
Oh, you should have told us.
Didn't I tell you that? And opened the scoring at Hampden yesterday as well, Marcus Fraser. How are you? Sum that up for us.
We're doing all right. I can't believe you, Andy, didn't give me that there. But
sorry about that.
It's all right. We'll move on. Jonah deserves that, to be fair. No, I'm good, thanks. Obviously, today, it's been quite a surreal 24 hours, to be fair, but looking back on all the videos and that today has been absolutely first class.
And headache, fine.
Yeah,
all good health, are you?
All good, to be fair. Not too bad. Been worse, but obviously a busy night last night talking to a lot of people and seeing everyone, so I don't think it was there was too much time, but it was a great night for everyone to be involved, and everyone back at the stadium is it was a brilliant night for everyone, all friends and family were there as well, so it was good.
How special is that? We'll obviously get to the game, but I dare say these are the bits that might live with you, you know, that sharing that with your family, seeing what it meant to the local community. You were back in the, you know, you're up in the balcony and so on. Just how was all that?
Obviously, like, listen, your family kind of feel it all. They're highs and lows, do you know what I mean? So the moments for them, they get that small percentage back. And my uncle actually lives over in Australia, so he travelled over for the game. He was only in the country for 3 days and he's away back today. So he's saying he's the good luck charm. So, obviously that's good. And the scenes at the town hall were unreal as well. It wasn't the best weather, but they turned it in their number, so that was brilliant to see.
Marcus, I went for your manager. He's responsible for 20% of St Mirren's historical achievements. Sum him up.
Yeah, he's obviously the last few seasons, he's worked wonders at St Mirren. The three top six finishes, getting us into Europe, and then obviously the last wee bit to do was get that cup final, and then obviously produce it as well. Listen, for the few seasons he's been in, he's really put his trust in me personally, and then obviously gave the team a lot of trust as well. Everyone kind of believes in everything he does. Puts a lot of hard work into the training, in the training ground, with a lot of his staff and all the players that come in, whether they're new or whatever, everyone buys into it. And I think that's kind of what he needs and what he wants. If you're not buying into it, you'll get put aside and someone else will come in. So that's kind of the environment that he sets, and obviously some of the older heads in the changing room kind of set their standards every day.
Marcus, congrats again. Listen, you've obviously been a side that's been competitive against Celtic in recent fixtures. It's quite often been coming down to the odd goal, whether it be injury time or whatnot. I've seen a lot of your manager and your fellow players talking about how much belief he's had going into the week. Where did that belief come from? Did it just come from how competitive you've been in these fixtures against Celtic?
So I think, yeah, obviously a couple of late winners, it kind of does deflate you, but the game you need to take a lot of good in that as well. And I think obviously off the back of a decent performance and 3 points against Dundee United, kind of built that momentum into the game. So all week, as I said, training was really good. The manager said in training he wished a cup final every week because everyone was flying into tackles, and the training standard was really high. So obviously it was brilliant.
Did this feel like the next obvious step for this team, Marcus? Everyone knows three consecutive top six finishes. You know, you've played in Europe. It just, everybody's spoken about it, really. I don't know if that adds its own pressure, but it just felt like this team, I don't know if needed a trophy is the right phrase, but was due one, maybe. Is that the way you guys have been looking at it?
Yeah, and over the years, I always kind of said to like my friends and family and that we should be a good cup team, because we're normally quite hard to play against in a one-off game. So not really managed to progress in tournaments, not even get to semi-finals or finals. So this year we got to a semi-final, we obviously won that, and then the last step was to beat Celtic, good Celtic side. And as I said, standing there, we did have belief, but on the day you have to turn up and perform, and thankfully we did that.
You were part of the dream start though. Talk us through the goal. How did that feel when the ball hit the back of the net?
Yeah, it was mental, to be fair. I just seen the ball kind of come in, and then I just glanced it and kind of fell on the ground and looked up, hit the post. I didn't know if Schmeichel could maybe tip it back out the net, but just seen everyone run to me, and then obviously Gorga is just one push and shoves me in the ground as he always does, and then I wee roll the pole. So no, it was a great start for us, and then obviously Celtic came right back into the game as they always do. They've got good players and put us under pressure, and we kind of got ourselves back into the game at half time, and the manager just gave us a wee couple of tweaks and pointers that we could do, and I think second half we kind of went strength to strength and really took the goals at the good times.
Did you feel, because it must be hard for you guys, especially players like you, Mark, you know, you're from these parts and you know the way it works, and you started your career at Celtic, seeing there's so much noise about the position they find themselves in, how much do you concentrate on yourselves, but how much do you also look at areas that you think you can take advantage of and lean into?
You always need to, like even the small ones as well. They had 3 games a week. They had played 2 games by the time we came Sunday. So just them wee things. Someone said that in the dressing room. Can't remember who it was at half time. but they've played two more games than us since we last played. So just even stuff like that, of course there's a lot of noise going around Celtic just now, but we obviously had to just go and turn up on the day and produce. But yeah, if we could take advantage of the small things, which I think we did, and as I said, they turned up and obviously got the goals at crucial times, and that was the main thing, I think.
St Mirren fans won't thank me for this, but you're going to have to try and physically tie your manager to a chair inside the training ground to make sure no one tries to come and get his services, because surely if people weren't noticing already, and they should have been, by the way, but if they weren't, a trophy certainly does that for a manager's stock, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, knowing the manager, he'll probably have videos at Livingston in his house today, because he's getting them on Saturday, so he's always well prepared for games, and he never kind of let us loose. So I'm sure we're back in on Wednesday, it is, and I'm sure they'll have us focused on Livingston, that's for sure.
You'll be fine against Libby. Have you seen their coaching staff?
Marvin Bartley will be listening. Don't you do that to them. Yep, Marcus, listen, I'll let you go. I know you've had a busy 24 hours, and even if you're lying to us and saying that you do feel good after the celebrations, you've done a great job, because you sound fine. So go and enjoy the rest of it, and we'll speak to you soon. Congratulations again.
Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Congratulations.
There we go. Marcus Fraser, captain on the day for St Mirren, lifted that trophy, an image that you St Mirren fans will hang on to forever, I'd imagine. So any fans out there want to give us your perspective, please do. 01419511025. Stevie is a Celtic fan, though. Stevie, what's the main emotion thinking back to yesterday?
The main emotion is this manager isn't a Celtic manager, mate. No way. I don't know where the board picked this guy up for. And Hugh, you know I'm a good friend of yourself, pal. I tried to go on to you last night, and I was going to actually say to you last night, Hugh, are you turning into a fly tomorrow to get into this Celtic boardroom first thing in the morning to see what they're talking about? Because I'm telling you, they've lost the fans. You know that already. The fans are against the board as it is. I don't know where Celtic... I don't know, be honest with you, Hugh, I don't know where Celtic go for here. Because this manager has to get removed. I don't care if he's only been in the job a week, 2 weeks. The best paid manager ever Celtic done, because he'll get paid off his contract. He needs to go. I'll guarantee you, and we'll talk again soon, I'll guarantee you, and I'll say it tonight, this guy at Celtic, Wilfred Nancy, will not be at Parkhead in 6 months. I give it now to 6 months, and Celtic will be appointing another manager.
So you think he gets another 6 months?
Well, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt saying 6 months. I'm happy to say maybe even 2 months. He's lucky he's no out the door first thing this morning.
I don't think he'll get 2 months, to be honest. I think what happened yesterday was that Celtic lost a cup final to a St Mirren side who were far, far superior to them. By the end of the game, it was utterly chaotic. He gives me the impression that he's a man who genuinely doesn't know what he's doing. I think the job is far too big for him. The fans don't want him, as Stevie has just illustrated. I don't think the players want him either. I look at the players and I don't think they believe in him, and I don't think they trust him. And I think Celtic have made a dramatic error, but they will not own up to that error straight away, because it would reflect badly on a board who are already detested by a percentage of the support. But he's three defeats in now. He's got Dundee United midweek at Tannadice, followed by Aberdeen at Celtic Park. I think if it goes four, five defeats in a row, I would find it very difficult to understand why Celtic would not make the managerial change.
I missed the game against Hearts last week, but I've seen a lot of chatter about the shape and how Celtic performed. So no, I was looking forward to watching the game on Thursday, seeing how the game played out, and then obviously going into the game yesterday. I honestly, Gordon, I couldn't believe what I was watching yesterday. Celtic looked to me as if they were playing a game of FIFA, and you were just going on mazy runs with fullbacks and centre-halves and strikers and everybody all over the pitch playing in all kinds of positions. Seeing Liam Scales at left wing, seeing Tinecki at right back, seeing Hatate playing striker, James Forrest coming in the pitch looking as if he's a number six playing in midfield. I just thought it was a completely bizarre game of football. And I know we're going to talk about the big one, which is yesterday, but I'm reverting back to what I also watched on Thursday, where I thought a Roma side could have took 10 off Celtic at Celtic Park, where it was waves and waves of attack. And yesterday, I don't think Rangers and Celtic are both in great positions, but in terms of the game yesterday, especially being a side in Celtic that have dominated domestically for such a long period of time, playing against a team in St Mirren who, by all accounts, like you said, top six finishes, European football, obviously winning a major trophy, are sitting third bottom in the league, not having a great season domestically themselves, look so comfortable against that Celtic side. And, we'll talk about Celtic and we'll talk about their failures and we'll talk about the manager. Obviously, a lot of credit has to go to Stephen Robinson and his players for their performance yesterday, but I thought Celtic were a mess.
I mean, Stevie, you sound quite angry, and you're talking about 6 months, 2 months. You don't think there's any chance it gets ended now? I assume you would end it now if it was up to you?
If it was up to me, yes. If it was up to me, I would end it now, and I'm being honest with you, lads, and I don't know what you think about this opinion, but this is my honest opinion. Those three games, Hearts, Roma, and the cup final, Martin O'Neill was in place and still doing his job, I would guarantee, and I'd put money in the bookie, that Martin O'Neill would have won two out of the three matches. This is just an absolute... I don't know what the Celtic support's going to do that pay their season ticket money. The season tickets are due to be renewed shortly. And I don't know what the Celtic support are going to do, because I think a lot of Celtic supporters, if this guy's in the dugout, I'll turn around and say to Celtic, you know what, stick your season ticket, I'm not giving you any more money.
I think Stevie is absolutely accurate there, because the only thing that fans can do,
the only thing that makes me caught, because I hear this about Rangers every year, because sorry to remind Andy, they're the ones that tend to have these types of Monday nights on the show, and there's always a big waiting list for season tickets. Mm-hmm. I always hear it, and that never comes to fruition, but that's maybe a discussion for another day. Stevie says he would pull the trigger now if he could. Doesn't think that'll happen though. You're kind of similar. To kind of revisit what we discussed after the show yesterday, what about that sort of wider point? Because look, yesterday's easy. Nobody's going to debate that yesterday was anything other than terrible for Celtic. How could you? So the kind of step back, should you ever, no matter what club you are, should you ever sack a manager after three games?
I think you have to acknowledge the fact that he looks hopelessly miscast. They've made a terrible error of judgment, and my main point is that I don't think the players are having him. Now, that means that you're on a disastrous course. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get until the Rangers game on the 3rd of January. I'm not sure that he'll have won any matches by then. He might get something at Livingston. Motherwell and his team will beat them at Fir Park.
Steady.
So I think when you get to Rangers, symbolically, if you lose to Rangers at Celtic Park and Rangers are above you in the league table, as they, I think, will be by that time, then the Celtic support are entitled to say, we don't want them, the players don't want them, why do you still want them?
Should you, again, same question to you, because all those things Hugh said seem that they probably are the case right now, or it certainly would be hard to disprove or push against. Do you simply need longer to know that those things are true, though?
I think there's so many kind of points and counterpoints to the argument, because I think a big thing I will say is he's had little to no time on the training pitch, which again would then put the question to the board, to me, was why was Martin O'Neill not in charge for these three games? Especially given what he'd done in the previous games. You talk about the bounce back that the players have got. But where I do think this is so precarious for Celtic, Gordon, is he's now here, he's not going to get the sack, and what he's going to get is a January transfer window. Now, January transfer window is going to be Celtic signing players to suit Wilfried Nancy's 3-4-3, because they're short, it's for centre-halves, they're short for number 10s, and for me, I don't think they have the legs to play a midfield two, so it's bringing in somebody that's more industrious to play alongside Callum McGregor. Now, what if, which we probably all feel right now is, the inevitable happens, and it doesn't last the season, you're then bringing in a manager that you probably revert back to your 4-3-3, when you've just gave a transfer window to a manager to recruit players for his system.
Okay, thank you, Stevie. Stevie's angry, and I think Jamie might be the same, but we'll speak to him after the break.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The manager, his staff, the supporters, the players, the tea lady, everybody deserves every partner back because they were sensational.
I've lived in Scotland for 22 years.
Mate, because you've done in Scotland, you say you're Scottish. But the players, I'm sorry, they are not Celtic material for me.
If I was a professional footballer, which I very nearly was, right?
Check
it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel or get it where you get your podcasts now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Andy Halliday are here. Let's speak to Jamie, who's in Paisley. How angry are you, Jamie, after yesterday?
Well, first of all, I've got to apologise to Mr. Keevans, because I phoned a couple of weeks ago and he was on a bit Nancy and all that, and I told him that the Celtic board were taking their time to get the right man in, and obviously they haven't done it, because the guy is a clown. I'm sorry, he hasn't a clue. He should have been out last night.
After three games though, Jamie, this is what we're trying to get.
After three games, he should have been out. I'm sorry, he's not Celtic, man. He's no Celtic class. I'm sorry.
What does that mean? Based on what?
Class. Why would you take a manager whose team are sitting currently seventh in a league and bring him to the Scottish Champions? Only they know why they done it.
I go back to the point that St Mirren won the cup final yesterday, well, being 5 points off the bottom of the league.
Yeah, that's a bit of a false position for St Mirren, isn't it? I feel like it does them a disservice.
All we can deal with is what's in front of us. And when the game kicked off, there were 5 points off the bottom of the league.
Let's not do St Mirren a disservice.
No, I'm not doing to... I was about to say, and that team, 5 points off the bottom of the league, beat Celtic comfortably and looked far superior. And I said... Yeah, of course they did. And I said before the game started, in my own newspaper column, St Mirren have a better manager than Celtic.
Do the Celtic players take any responsibility for this? Or is it all on the manager?
The way you can cut the Celtic players some slack, when James A. Forrest ends up in central midfield, you're entitled to look at Wilfred Nancy and say, no wonder you have not been on the training field very long. How does James A. Forrest end up in midfield?
What about some of... That was at the end when there was an air of desperation about it, right? You seriously think that those players don't deserve any criticism for that performance yesterday?
Of course. I mean, to lose the goal after 90 seconds as they did, and the marking was comical. Of course players have to take liability. However, the combination of a squad that is declining at an alarming rate. They played five substitutions yesterday, and Balakwisha, who cost the club £5 million, was still on the bench because he's utterly useless. And Celtic paid that money for him. Tonekte came at first, flattered to deceive. He's hopeless as well. Now, the people who recruited these hopeless cases are now going to be entrusted with the job of the January transfer window, having just had the worst transfer window in Celtic's history. So the club's a mess.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to get a gauge on, Andy, is there clearly is mitigation there for Wilfried Nancy, but how much? That's the bit we need to get to. Because if we're saying that the squad's declined at an alarming rate, they've got a 5 million recruit they won't turn to, even the ones that they have signed are hopeless. These are all Hugh's words. Andy's not a time in the training ground. Andy's had three games in. I'm trying to understand why for some people he gets all of the blame when Hugh's just sat and pointed out numerous reasons why he shouldn't get all of the blame.
Yeah, listen, well, I don't think he should get all of the blame, because it's not him that was poor marking to Marcus Fraser like Rio Hatate for the goal. It wasn't him that decided to sprawl out his box at Kasper Schmeichel for a second and then the third goal. I mean, the amount of errors you can put in towards that. So I don't think individually Celtic players were great, but I still can't believe what I was watching, Gordon, in terms of, you know, I like the finer details and the tactical input in football. I couldn't believe the amount of times I was seeing Liam Scales pop up in the left wing and leaving Austin Trusty 1v1 at the back. And you know, I reiterate, Stephen Robinson, his in-game changes, his tactical input towards the game was excellent.
What did they do? Because there was probably a spell in the first half where it
it probably looked like Celtic would be the team to go and win it, and then it did change. And
yeah,
then
so Celtic had a rotation on the left hand side specifically, where Arne Engels would drop out and Liam Scales would go towards the left wing, and Kieran Tierney would vert into the pitch and would create overloads on the left hand side. What I thought was a great change by Stephen Robinson was after maybe 30-35 minutes was with the left Austin Trusty on the ball, and Ayunga and Alundalu were basically man-marking or occupying the two outside centre-half, and to me, Celtic looked baffled and couldn't break down St Mirren. They couldn't create any chances, and what they did, through design by their manager, by the way, was get desperate and commit so many bodies forward, like Liam Scales again going forward, like Anthony Ralston going forward, and the amount of space that Mirren had to hit them by one direct ball on the counter-attack, even in the last 10 minutes of the first half, by the way, was it was so Celtic's organisation behind the ball when they had the ball was honestly baffling. It really was. And again, I mean, I've watched the three games, and we're talking about could he lose his job after the three games. You always look at it and think three defeats, you can't lose your job for three defeats. And I'm not saying he should lose his job today, but again, you always talk about the manner of defeats, how they looked yesterday on top of that as well was so, so poor.
Jamie, no chance he turns this round from here for you?
No, none at all. I wouldn't entrust the guy with a pound in the transfer money.
Who do you trust with that though? Because he didn't sign Balakwisha or Tonetke, or not sign a striker and have to go to a free agent in Iheanacho, who has the conditioning of a free agent. Maybe he's just unlucky, but you know, it's injuries. It's a guy who's not playing a lot of football.
Well, looking back, I would have loved Martin O'Neill to stay, even for these three games, to get these three games out the road.
Celtic are not yet at the halfway stage of the season. They're nearly there. They're 6 points behind Hearts, but they have two games in hand. Therefore, they've lost the first trophy of the season, but the rest of the season is savable.
But the difference is, the rest of the teams have got a football manager.
That was the point I was about to make, Jamie. The fact that the season is retrievable at this point in time, then that's why you should change. Because Wilfred Dancy will make sure that the season is irretrievable.
Do you think this squad is capable of winning the league?
As it stands, no.
So
no. The dilemma that Celtic have...
Do you think, that's what I'm saying, so do you think changing the manager means this squad could win the league?
Changing the manager, finding someone, and incidentally, the head of operations, Paul Tisdale, should go immediately as well. He's been responsible for so much that is wrong. He is the Rangers, the Celtic Kevin Thelwell, and should be gone. But the season is still retrievable, but not with Wilfred Nancy in charge, not with Paul Tisdale there.
But they need better players as well for you, though, because you just said if they change manager, you still don't. So if they change manager tonight, right, that doesn't automatically mean you think they're good enough to win
the league. Well, when Martin Neil came in, Martin Neil got a tune out of him. Martin was lucky in some of the games, particularly St Mirren and Paisley, when Callum McGregor got him out of it. However, the combination of the squad that they have in severe decline and the manager that they have, who should never have been appointed, means that the season, as things stand, on the 15th of December, is irretrievable.
Listen, Jamie's saying he wouldn't touch him with a pound. You've got to feel that the board will probably be thinking similar. Like, how much can they actually trust him to spend X amount of money to recruit these players to fit this 3-4-3 formation? Because I think, if they're being completely honest, deep down, they might feel that just now...
But some of the recent recruitment's been terrible under other managers as well.
But listen, absolutely, but you have to back then you get the next ones right. But what I'm saying is...
There'll be some cheek, though, to say, we don't trust you, but Balakwisha's sitting there for £5 million that you couldn't put on.
But my thing, Gordon's not so much personnel. It's about this. It's about recruiting players for this system that might not last more than 2 months, like you guys are talking about. So it's, again, recruiting potentially another two centre-halves and number 10s and sixes when 2 months down the line it could be back to 4-3-3.
By the way, that's back to another question. Is that not why you're meant to have a sporting director, a director of football, a structure, one that stays the same?
Yeah.
Because, Hugh, we talk about accountability. This is the unfortunate thing about football, where Wilfred Nancy will be the poor guy that probably does pay the price.
Yeah.
Why was he allowed to come? Why would you appoint a guy that's allowed to come in and change formation at this stage of a season? Why was he allowed to do that?
Well,
big clubs have got a football structure that prevents that happening.
Yeah. Why you go to the MLS point number one. Why you go to someone who's been a coach for 4 years?
But even that, maybe that's the market Celtic are in, though. You know, you're not getting an English Premier League manager, so you need to either go to a lesser league or somebody that's on the wane or whatever. I don't think the fact that it was the MLS, but what does it say about you structurally as a club if you're allowing a guy to come in and rip up a formation and change it and it doesn't work?
It says that structurally you're all over the place, and the fans have decided that, you know, sack the board. I keep on coming back to this ad nauseum. No one's going to sack anybody on the board because the board have a voting system that's weighted heavily in their favour, and they have Dermot Desmond, who is the de facto owner of the club. The only way that all of that can change is if Celtic are taken over by someone. But as things stand, the season is irretrievable because under Wilfred Nancy, there is no possibility at all of Celtic ever winning anything.
Do you think more people will be joining the Hearts for the title bandwagon that we started a couple?
Well, you know, champions elect.
Michael is on the other line. Thank you to Jamie. Michael, sum up how you're feeling.
Embarrassed, disgusted. See, that's not that performance from my club. That's not a club. As I said here to Joseph, I want the board out tonight, and Nancy as well. He's to blame as well. I know it's at 3 games, but we need to give him time as well, as well as... There's a lot of problems. And see, the last week I was at the game, Paul Dinsdale sleeping at Parkhead. Yeah, whatever he is sleeping during the game. That's how bad it is.
I'm going to cut him a bit of slack. I'm sure he wasn't actually. I mean, I'm sure.
Celtic will have to
learn. Benefit of the doubt, Hugh, on that. I don't think he was asleep. I think Cameron probably caught him, unfortunately.
Celtic will have to learn that in the age of live television, don't sit there with your eyes shut. And yesterday it was the chairman's turn to get caught with his head in his hands, as if to say, oh no. But I go back to this point, Michael, that you can't sack the board. When the AGM was disrupted, they then had the votes conducted online, and the board, each man was returned to his place on the board by an overwhelming majority. The only way the board changes at Celtic Park is if Celtic are given, or Dermot Desmond is given, an offer for his share.
So
there'll be no one leaving.
Michael, you think this goes above and beyond the manager? You don't think you just change the manager and it fixes things?
No, the club from top to bottom, it's the whole club is an embarrassment. See, watching that yesterday, St Mirren could have destroyed us. They could have scored a fourth goal if it wasn't for Kasper Schmeichel yesterday. And see, his formation, it doesn't work. We can't play three at the back. It's not possible. No offence to Ralston, Scales and Krusty, but we can't play three at the back. It's not possible. It's not possible.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of, you know, Nancy defended himself. Of course, every man's entitlement to defend himself. There's a certain arrogance about the way he goes about his business. You know, no matter how bad it gets. And Russell Martin had a touch of that about him as well. And it only ends one way, the sack.
I think as well, God, I think certain clubs have an identity. You know, and I'm 34-year-old, grew up in the 90s, and obviously up to now, I always identify Celtic with wingers. Always. Mm. Always have, always will. So it's not to say that they can't play 3-4-3, but Celtic don't play 3-4-3. And to allude to the point that you were touching on with you, straight away to me, that would just be a red flag by the board members at Celtic that are interviewing someone that wants to come in and play 3-4-3 at such a crucial stage of the season when you're playing a top-of-table clash, you're playing Roma in the Europa League, then you've got your League Cup final. At what point has somebody said, you know what, hold a minute, we don't have the squad at this moment in time to play 3-4-3. And by the way, at this moment in time, we've got a guy in interim charge that has just went away, produced one of the best away performances in Europe that Celtic have had for many a year, and beat Hibs and done all the other domestic wins that they've had, including Rangers in the semi-final. Again, it was high risk, but at this moment in time, it really does look like low reward.
I know that this will sound equally bizarre, but I'd be thinking along the lines of getting the band back together again. Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham.
That would sound bizarre.
Because I repeat, if Wilfred Nancy remains in position, the season is irretrievable for Celtic.
How do you do that without... I can see what you're going to say, that it's embarrassing at the moment, and Mike was embarrassing. How do you do that as a football club and not absolutely solidify the fact that you are now an embarrassment? Imagine a club of Celtic size launching a recruitment process, trying to tell everybody that it was a good recruitment process, that they cast their net far and wide, sacking that guy 3 days later, three games later, to bring in the 73-year-old that was already there in interim charge. How could those that run Celtic do that without somebody falling on their sword? Because that would be one of the most shambolic things you would witness anywhere in football.
Well, the embarrassment will come anyway under Wilfred Nancy, because he will keep losing matches and it will become more and more bizarre. And then you'll get to the transfer window and there'll be a debate over whether you can trust him or trust Paul Tisdale.
But that's what I mean. Right now he's getting the stick and he's not doing well, and Michael and everybody's acknowledging it. But it feels like if you do that now, if you sack the manager after three games, and especially if you then have to call Martin O'Neill back, you are literally telling everybody that we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, well, that's correct. They don't.
But it's not great to advertise that fact.
Yeah, somebody would need to lose their job. If Wilfried Nancy loses his, then someone within Celtic's recruitment process, a board, would have to lose their job also. I was still part of the show when Neil Warnock lasted 33 days at Aberdeen. I mean, 12 days would significantly beat that. But like he says, you're admitting a real poor failure already off the back of Celtic fans already calling for the board's heads for a number of months. So to answer your question, if Wilfried Nancy was sacked, then the board would have to make decisions about themselves as well.
And then you have to launch another recruitment process and say to the next guy, presumably, if you don't win your first three games, you're out.
Well, again, you know, you should bring Martin O'Neill back to put him in some sort of advisory role, because those who are in charge at the moment need advice.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We'll take more of your calls. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, Rangers are playing Hibs tonight as well at Ibrox, so we'll do some team news when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in James, who's a Celtic fan. How would you sum up your feelings after everything that's gone on, James?
Do you think we'll beat Auchinleck Talbot in the cup?
Do you?
I'd be surprised if they don't. I have watched a team with very talented footballers over the past 2 years. Maybe the past year. Talented footballers throughout the team. Abidrap Smichel, Ralston, Ingles, Hatate and Naeda. I wouldn't play them again for another couple of weeks. These guys are went into hiding. Yesterday Gordon said that there was players hiding, and that's what I believe. And another thing that happened yesterday, I don't know if you can remember what happened. The manager went out to Callum McGregor and spoke to him. Callum McGregor walked away, walked onto the park. Four players came up and looked at him and they were shaking their head. I don't know what he said to them, but I thought, that's strange. It's just, I have never seen a team fall so far from grace so quickly. And there is talent there, but I don't think this guy, the job is far too big for him.
To cut Celtic some slack, Carter Vickers, Jota, Ali Johnson, all out because of injury. However, you can't drop whole swathes of players because there's nothing on the bench, James. You know, as I said, Balakwisha cost £5 million. Celtic put on five subs and left a £5 million man there because he's useless. And that's the way things are at Celtic at the minute. In the year 2025... the talented players that you speak of, Kyogo, Matt O'Reilly, Nicholas Kuhn, all gone from the club. The quality has gone, the mediocrity has come in. You put bad recruitment along with misfortune regarding injuries and you get what you got yesterday at Hampden, a wholly inadequate team.
How good would the... because you want... or want is the wrong word. You think Wilfried Nancy should go... how good would the next manager have to be then to overcome all those things that you've just outlined?
I think you simply have to be competent. I am questioning Wilfried Nancy's competence.
But you're saying the squad has... I'm sure you said it was an alarming decline.
It is.
That's not a great environment for a new manager then.
If Kuhn, Kyogo and O'Reilly go out and Balakwisha and Tenekte come in, then I submit that's a decline. I do understand that you're looking for a manager to come in, a shot in the dark perhaps, but Nancy was a leap of faith and the leap has taken you over a cliff.
I've seen Celtic fans today, the one they saying, look at the performance last time at Hampden, the Scottish Cup final. Look at the Champions League qualification. You know, Dermot Desmond, that famous statement that night said that there was, I'm paraphrasing, there's nothing wrong with the structure, this is all just down to one man. Should we maybe have seen this coming?
That performance yesterday? With a squad of players?
The general state.
Yeah, listen, potentially, because you talked about the Scottish Cup final, but I think it came within a season where we've seen Celtic go against Bayern Munich over two legs and look extremely good.
But from that point, it felt like that's when it started.
Yeah, absolutely, but I think the majority of that has been this season with the squad of players. But I think you talk about the regression or the progression or stagnation, whatever you want to look at it. Again, there's even been regression in the last three games. In fact, a vast amount of regression for me. We've talked about performance.
From Dundee to Hearts, Martin Neal's last, I don't think there was a performance regression there.
Not a huge amount, but Roma, there certainly was.
It's just hard to know
yesterday,
again, better.
Yesterday, clearly. Listen, we've talked about results, performance, even look at the optics yesterday. I mean, you were at the game. I don't know if you noticed Luke McCowan coming on the pitch and then 2 minutes later going over at the bench and holding up 10 in his fingers as if, am I playing number 10? It genuinely did look at certain scenarios that Celtic players were lost, whether it's what their instructions were, what position they were playing in. Again, I look at like certain decisions as well. To anyone that wants to go back and watch certain games, you look at the third goal and watch Declan John's desire to attack the ball compared to Arne Engels' desire to get back. Freeze frame St Mirren's first goal when the corner's about to get taken, and look at Iheanacho and McGregor's position doing the exact same thing in an area where Celtic are 3-1, and then the remaining players all man Martin, and the decision is Rio Hatate to man Marcus Fraser. Now I get that there's going to be some disparity in height advantage compared to Celtic, but you've got Iheanacho doing the same job as McGregor, so why does Iheanacho not go in and man mark a Marcus Fraser? There was so many things that you can pinpoint the game yesterday.
Because do you then hope that a new manager makes Arne Engels have more desire?
Which is where I completely agree with you earlier, where this squad needs recruitment, absolutely. But again, was Martin O'Neill's performances at Celtic amazing out with the Feyenoord game? No, but he did what was needed and he got results.
I think, to be fair to Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham as well, Martin O'Neill very clearly stood back and let Maloney and Fotheringham get on with that side of the game, and he was there as the father figure, if you like. And that's why, I don't care how bizarre it sounds, while the season is still retrievable, you maybe have to gamble on getting those three back together again, because I maintain one person's opinion: for as long as Wilfried Nancy is the Celtic manager, the season is irretrievable.
Let's thank James and move on to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. The lines close at 7.
Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. We are doing many things at once tonight. Congratulating St Mirren. It was great to have the captain, Marcus Fraser, first up tonight to hear about the celebrations and give St Mirren their moment, because my goodness, they deserve it. Needless to say, thereafter, we've had quite a few angry Celtic fans, which was very predictable. And plenty more to come tonight, tomorrow, the next night. Oh, they play on Wednesday night, by the way, and so on. So who knows how this ends, but keep the calls coming. 01419511025. Just a quick one: every caller who makes it on air tonight is actually into the hat to extend your festive celebrations with a day out at the Golf Inn Prestwick New Year Race Day, Friday the 2nd of January, Air Race Course. That'll be brilliant. Your festivities coming to an end, then you get a nice day out on us. seven races, big street party, entertainment, all that sort of stuff. All you need to do is come on here, make a point to the panel, and you are in the hat. We're going to keep going with the cup final reaction. We're going to get team news from Ibrox. Stuart Kettlewell was sacked today as well, if there are any Kelly fans out there. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans is on a 67% win rate, apparently. Oh,
that'll do me.
You won 7-3 on Friday.
Yeah. Wow. And the one I got wrong, Andy, Celtic's goal scorers in Rotterdam, they played Feyenoord. I couldn't name any of them.
Sometimes they are the harder ones, though.
I just said Dyson Maeda, but I could not remember.
Yang letting you down once again.
I know. That's another thing. If your last throw of the dice in a cup final is Yang, what kind of state are you in?
No, I think you can make
actually,
it.
He's done all right recently.
He's not the biggest problem at the moment. That's the most alarming thing for you. Well, there are worse.
Oh yeah, Balakwisha. I mean, if you can't bring a player onto the park because he can't play football, right, anyway, then you're in trouble.
It's supposed to be Beat the Pundit. Calm him down while we play. James and Michael are in the car outside Ibrox.
I know this.
How are you guys?
All right. Hi, good. Thanks, Gordon. Cheers.
Have either of you ever played before?
Not on the show.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Well, you know, Andy's pretty good at this, but I suppose two brains might be better than his one. Is that the theory?
Debatable.
Don't sound too sure. The good news is, well, it's good news in a way, but it does put more pressure on. You don't even know this, Andy Halliday. You've been off for a couple of weeks. For every question you get right, we're going to give £10 to Cash for Kids, thanks to the good folks at Hill End Motors. For every question the callers get right, £10 to Cash for Kids, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. Brilliant. So we're raising a bit of cash as well. What we'll do is toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Hugh Keevans. And it's the red side, it'll be Andy Halliday. You're not in your normal seat, are you?
I know, but this was my OG seat.
Originally.
When I first sat in the studio. Okay. It's quite nice, actually. Right. Okay, No Roger likes it here.
Let's see how we go. It's you, Andy Halliday. Red for Andy, up against James and Michael outside Ibrox. So give Andy something else to listen to, Christmas music, if we can. You guys have 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. If one of you could just shout out the answers nice and clear, that would be great. Your time starts now. Before yesterday, who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup?
Aberdeen.
Who did James Tavernier replace as Rangers captain?
Lee Wallace.
Name any Scottish player who's scored in the English Premier League this season.
Harry Barnes.
How many times have St Mirren won the League Cup?
Twice.
Which Hearts outfield players get the most minutes in the league this season?
Shankland.
Name the last year both cups were won by teams outside the Old Firm.
St Johnson. 2021.
Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. Wasn't the Christmas music, was it?
No, it wasn't. I don't even know that song.
This. Surely the chances of getting Christmas music at this time of the year are high, but every time we play Beat the Pundit, it never is.
I was quite enjoying that, though. I don't. No idea who it was, but... All right.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Before yesterday, who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup?
Kelly.
Who did James Tavernier replace as Rangers captain?
Lee Wallace.
Name any Scottish player who scored in the English Premier League this season.
John McGinn.
How many times have St Mirren won the League Cup?
Two.
Which Hearts outfield player has played the most minutes in the league this season?
Cammy Devon.
Name the last year both domestic cups were won by teams outside the Old Firm.
2020.
Who did Tony Docherty replace as Ross County manager?
Don Kerry.
David Bates plays for which Belgian club?
Oh, I know this. I've got him on Instagram.
Okay. Three.
It's no Beerschot.
Two.
Beerschot.
One.
No, Mecklen. Is it Mecklen?
Just you wait, you'll find out.
Mecklen or something?
Instagram just tells you what he had for his dinner. It might not give you an idea of who he actually plays for. James and Michael, how do you think it went?
He told me three as well, was it, man?
No great.
No great. Okay, we'll find out. Let's go through them. Before yesterday, the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup was Kilmarnock. Andy Halliday goes. You start on minus one, though, don't you? I forgot that. I'm all over the place tonight, right? Okay, so that's your back level. That's your minus one wiped out. The captain before James Tavernier was Lee Wallace. You both got it, so it stays a level game. I feel like I want to give James and Michael the point for this, but I don't think I can. Name any Scottish player who scored in the English Premier League this season. He goes, Harvey Barnes, hopefully. So maybe in a couple of weeks it is a correct answer.
Harvey McBarnes.
But as it stands, he's not played for Scotland, so I can't quite give them it. It is John McGinn, or there's only been two.
Wouldn't it be Harry Hickey or Ryan Christie?
It is Ryan Christie.
Is it Ryan Christie? It I thought he'd been injured all season.
And you were telling us you bumped into Ryan Christie.
Bumped into him at the weekend, yeah.
Whereabouts?
Really nice guy, Dublin.
So
that's why I wasn't here last Monday.
So you're telling me that you scumbags at Motherwell go to the same place as the high-flying English Premier League superstars on your Christmas night out?
So win bonuses this year.
My goodness. And what was Ryan Christie asking Elijah Just for tips for the World Cup, was he?
Should be.
Honestly, Ryan Christie should have Elijah Just posters up me as well, let me tell you. Right, Andy Halliday, one in front. How many times have St Mirren won the League Cup?
Three.
Is it three?
I think it's two.
You told me...
No, I didn't.
I did. You said Alex Smith or something was the last man before Dan Brennan.
That was the Scottish Cup.
No.
There you go.
So there we go.
A bit of luck, yeah.
what chance you got, guys, if he's pulling these
1987.
Out,
yeah.
That's the Scottish Cup. So 2013 and 25 for the League Cup. The Hearts player with the most minutes in the league is Cammy Devlin. Honestly, he's a bit of a geek, Andy Halliday, James and Michael.
I thought they had a Harry Mill.
However, you get one back because the last year that both domestic cups were won, 21. It was 2021. You said 2020, which stops Andy Halliday going for the 10. That's the important thing. So you've done that at least. Don Cowie was before Tony Docherty as Ross County manager. I didn't necessarily think we would spend long on Ross County tonight, but we did have a managerial casualty at the weekend. Well,
if you lose 6-0 and you're bottom of the championship table
with that budget,
the club's obliged to say we better get someone for the second half of the season before we get relegated to the third tier.
David Bates, standard Liège.
Was it? Well, I was way off then.
You were way off it. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a 6 for Andy Halliday, a 3 for the guys. Do you know what we'll do? Let's give him Harvey Barnes, will we, right? Give him Harvey Barnes, wishful thinking, because it's an extra tenner to cash for kids. Are we all okay with that?
Good.
Doesn't alter the outcome. Thank you very much. What are you expecting when you get inside Ibrox tonight, James and Michael?
Yeah, 2-1, hopefully, Gordon. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, it's like we can only handle one mood at a time, can't we, right? Celtic are in crisis tonight, but Rangers, like, aren't in a brilliant place either, are they? And you need to make sure that you go and sort of, even though that was a cup and this is a league, it's really time Rangers try and put their foot down and put pressure on this, isn't it?
Yeah. 100%. So we'll see what happens.
Just seeing the breaking news flashing below, it's a couple of surprise omissions, shall we say, for the starting 11 for Rangers. No James Tavernier, no Nico Raskin.
You've just stolen Tom Grant's thunder.
Sorry, Tom.
Right, anyway, let's thank James and Michael outside Ibrox. We'll go to Tom Grant, who is waiting patiently at Ibrox. You can take the rest of the night off. Andy Halliday's just stolen your headline.
Absolutely shocking. I had my big moment there as well, Andy. Thanks very much for that. Hello from a very chilly Ibrox Stadium for the small matter of Rangers Hibs, a match that has gone quietly under the radar over the past 24 hours. And as I was about to say, there is some big team news, particularly for the home side. But it does have that important fixture feel about it. It's fourth against fifth, just 2 points separating these two, with both knowing a win could take them above Motherwell into third spot in the Premiership. These teams both won 3-0 on the last league duty. Rangers at Rugby Park against Kilmarnock in what was arguably their most impressive showing under Rule so far, and Hibs at home to Falkirk, a match Highbees gaffer David Gray says they've taken a lot of confidence from. He says he's here to win tonight, and it will be intriguing to see if Kieran Bowie can build on the two goals he notched against the Bairns last Saturday. So on to tonight's teams. Darren Rowe has made 5 changes following last Thursday's defeat in Hungary. There's no starting place for James Tavernier or Nico Raskin, Jide Gassama, Danilo, and it looks like Bojan Miowski has lost his fitness battle after taking a knock in Hungary. So it's Jack Butland in goals, Max Ahrens, Dijon Sterling, Nasser Djiga and Emmanuel Fernandes make up the back line. Conor Barrett and Mohamed Diamande. It's then Jaden Magoma, Mikey Moore and Finlay Curtis. They sit behind Yosef Chermiti. And for Hibs, it's 3 changes for David Gray. Rafael Salinger, then Warren O'Hara, Grant Hanley and Jack Iredale and as the back line. Jordan Obita, Daniel Barlaser, Josh Mulligan and Chris Cadden are behind Jamie McGrath, who's also behind Kieran Bowie and Ellie Youhan. Could it yet be another significant night in what is becoming the most dramatic of Scottish seasons? It kicks off at 7:45.
Andy Halliday, as I said there, it is just the way this works, this city. Yesterday was a cup game. It's got nothing really to do with the league table or what happens tonight and all, but yet it just is linked, isn't it? It just all is. Today, the Rangers fans, because that's the way rivalry works, have got a spring in their step because Celtic failed yesterday. But then once this game kicks off, you have to go and get your own house in order, so to speak.
Absolutely. You know, I was once told that there's always one good cup and one bad cup when it comes to the two teams in Glasgow. At this moment in time, it certainly looks like Wilfried Nancy's the bad cop.
Did you just quote Mark Warburton?
I did.
On this show.
I did.
See, I remember.
In terms of the good cop, you know, Danny Rule has to try and maintain that status as it can. And what you will say, it's a massive 7 days for Rangers. At this moment in time, I don't think they've done enough to suggest they can be title winners. But you've got to say, over the next two games in 7 days, they could change.
Couldn't have it any other way, Hugh. Danny Rule's not that good a cop. But you know, it's true what Andy says. Tonight, like, that's kind of the way it feels.
Must win. Andy and I were talking before the programme started, and Andy said, you know, when Celtic are in the state they're in, Rangers have to ride the wave. And that's exactly the way it is. Now, if they win tonight, next game, Hearts at Tynecastle, what a chance they have to turn their season around and to put Hearts under real pressure. However, I was just, when the teams were being read out there, we were concentrated on Nico Raskin. Remember the days when Russell Martin used to leave out Nico Raskin and he booed, and Nico Raskin's name be chanted throughout the game? There'll be none of that tonight, which Andy suggests to me that Nico Raskin's standing in the eyes of the Rangers supporters has gone down.
Yeah, it's still a team, Andy, it feels like, isn't quite sure what's best. You know, got the, you know, Falkirk wasn't that long ago. When was Dundee United? You lose it. Was this last midweek?
Yeah.
Or the week before?
I'm genuinely asking
because you're.
Yeah, it was the week before because Europe is last midweek.
You're right. Well, that wasn't great either.
Yeah.
So it's mad how it does kind of work here.
Exactly. It's just it's so unique how the clubs are obviously so different, but come hand in hand when it comes to big news. Because at this moment in time, obviously, we've heard the calls tonight. If Rangers manage to drop points tonight, the volume of criticism towards Celtic and Wilfried Nancy and the board goes from volume 100 to maybe 95. And that is just Rangers have to try and do the best they can to quietly go about their business and pick up points. Tonight, I've been critical about performance levels. Tonight, performance levels are irrelevant. It's all about winning the game.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. 01419511025. Loads happening. Remember, every caller who comes through goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to Ayr Races. But Paul, as a St Mirren fan, you must be on cloud nine already.
I certainly am, guys. Good evening. Listen, I apologise if I sound a wee bit rough, I'll be honest with you. I'm still recovering from festivities yesterday. I just thought I'd add a wee bit of positivity to the show tonight, because it's been a wee bit negative. So hopefully I'll add a wee bit of positivity. So yeah, St Mirren fan, home and away. And I just have to start by kind of highlighting the journey of getting to the League Cup final. You know, it was really hard. Like I say, I go to every game. I was at Arbroath way back in July when we lost out in penalties, and it feels like a lifetime ago. And you know, we did have a tough route to the final, probably one of the hardest routes out of all the clubs. Obviously, Hearts, Kilmarnock, Motherwell. So it wasn't easy getting there. And I really highlight as well how much a great job Stephen's doing. Regardless of how well we've done in the last kind of 4 or 5 years, our target is always just staying in the league. Just with the kind of budget we've got with our clubs, we're way punching above our weight. Now, I'm a wee bit worried, you know, it's a slight negative that, for me, the only thing Stephen was missing was actually a bit of silver there, and he's got that now, so I don't know what else he can do. Maybe we can, listen, we're the only club in Scotland can still get a treble, so maybe we can aim for that. Another thing to kind of highlight with St Mirren, it's not just Stephen, it's not just the staff that's been highlighted as well, is we are, as far as I'm aware, are the first club in the entire UK that are fan-led have won a major trophy. So I just really need to highlight that. I know the guys, I'm actually parasmising myself, but the whole team, town, pulling together, and if we can just get a little bit more people on board, you know, the sky's the limit. I don't know if you saw the videos from Paisley last night, but Paisley was absolutely bouncing.
Where were you during all of this?
I was in about everywhere. So I go straight after the game, went to the bus straight to Paisley. I was right outside the town hall, seeing the guys coming in, Big Gogic and Phillips hanging out at the top of the bus. The town, I think we're a bit of a sleeping giant. And we kind of proved that last night. Again, I don't know if you've seen the videos and that, but we can really get the town behind us. The sky's, obviously the sky's not the limit. We're not going to win the league, but days out at hand could be a wee bit more of a normality for us rather than having to wait everything at 12, 13 years. So it was just to highlight, obviously, Stephen, but also the fans behind the club as well.
It's a good point. I saw someone pointing out today, top of the league, third in the league, League Cup winners, and the team that got promoted from the Championship last season, all fan-owned. I mean, shot in the arm for those that believe in that sort of thing. But it does feel like a real collective effort, Hugh. You talk about even, you know, Chief Executive Keith Lasley, who we've had in the show many times. St Mirren's season tickets are as high as they've ever been. They've been one of those that have made that decision to now not give the Old Firm two stands, and yet their season tickets have gone up, their average crowds have gone up. It's been, this yesterday was the culmination of a few years of really good work.
So Keith Lasley on TV going down to offer his congratulations to Stephen Robinson, a couple of beardies, and they looked really, really happy. And he's a good guy, as you know, Laz. So everything about the club is positive. The point that Paul made about the run to Hampden, by beating Hearts, Motherwell and Celtic, that means that St Mirren have taken care of the top three in the Premiership in order to win the trophy. So that's another feather in their cap. There's no point in worrying over Stephen Robinson, because that's what happens if you discover a great football player, and some men have done it over the years. You then sell them on for a fortune. Same story with managers. You know, if they're that good, they draw attention to themselves.
Do you think silverware, sorry to Paul and everybody else, silverware might be the thing that moves the dial? I think we spoke about this on yesterday's show. Maybe the top six finish thing is kind of lost on people elsewhere. Yeah. Maybe they don't quite get the significance of it. I know it might sound patronising, but because you're sort of wondering, if clubs haven't paid attention to him so far, why not? And does this change that?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we get back to the optics. He's beaten Celtic to win. Now, we know that, you know, Celtic, under Brendan Rodgers, 11 of the last 13 trophies, the most dominant team in Scotland since 2000. So they are still Celtic. And that's why everyone on the programme tipped Celtic to win the Cup, because you think they can't lose two finals back-to-back. They must have quality enough to beat St Mirren. They didn't have the quality. And St Mirren, I maintain, at 3-1, let Celtic off lightly.
And like everyone said, you just alluded to it there, they thoroughly deserved it. It wasn't a typical backs against the wall job where they defended for 85, 88 minutes and nicked a set piece and won the game 1-0. I thought they controlled the game the full second half. They allowed Celtic to play where they wanted them to play and looked extremely dangerous on the counter-attack. And, you know, Stephen Robinson's obviously done a fantastic job. And we've mentioned the three top sixes. We've mentioned, obviously, the major trophy yesterday, playing in Europe. But, again, continuously losing big players. You look at last year, losing Zach Cummins, who was excellent in goals, losing Boyd Munns, losing Olasanya up front, and continuously having to replace these guys.
Olasanya just becomes Dan Lindelöf this year, and
absolutely, and it's not an easy job, especially with the budget that, you know, the likes of St Mirren have got. But you've got to say, he's recruited ever so well, and St Mirren are a good team individually, but they're a brilliant team collectively.
Yeah, well done, Paul. Glad you enjoyed your night, and thanks for taking the time. Well done again to St Mirren. Just reflecting quickly on team news from Ibrox, some suggestions coming out there. That Nico Raskin's got a slight thigh injury, and that's why he's on the bench. Can't be that much of a thigh injury if he's still involved, but there we go, that's apparently the reason. Keep the calls coming, we'll speak to you next.
Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. I'm about to take an executive decision that will prove popular with you and unpopular with you, Andy Halliday.
Hey, full time teaser. I can't believe it.
Have you seen how busy this show is tonight?
I know, but come on.
I've got cash for
kids. I bring it into the Motherwell team on a Tuesday morning.
Well, I can give you it privately, the question, obviously. I've got some cash for kids business to take care of. Really important cash for kids business. We've got the pundit predictor. Didn't need to remind you, Rangers are playing Hibs tonight.
Are they?
Remember that again. They are indeed.
Hey, stop talking and go on with it then.
Kelly sacked their manager as well, if MD wants to get in touch. But in the meantime, John is a Celtic fan. What is going on with your team, John?
Well, on the way to the game yesterday, there was a weather warning. And when I go to Hampden, I get a Celtic warning. I was at Team McGee, a lot of ill health watching it. Now, Shukin says, we got rid of Kyogo Kuhn This isn't just the last three games. This has been dragging about 2 years now. We went to Hampden in May and we lost the cup final, and we went yesterday and got embarrassed in the second half. Now, there's seven players there that I'll be rid in January. Seven of them. We're not going to get rid of them. Nobody's going to take them. And I've got two Scottish internationals, Tierney and Ralston, and they'll go to the World Cup and they'll not get a game for Scotland. And I've got to watch them week in and week out. Ralston is finished, and Tierney's just about finished behind them. As I say, we are in a crisis tonight. The shoe says we're not going to sack the board, but see the first Scottish Cup game. Have a boycott. They're up there getting mega money, that the directors, and our boy Tinsdale, as I say, he's the guy that signed all these players, all these duds that come in here. As you say, £5 million for the boy here. They were a shambles, absolute shambles. That's my point tonight, mate.
If Celtic fans boycott Auchinleck, I need to move it back to Beechwood.
but let me say right away, I agree with a lot of what John said, but no one in a responsible position, and we are in a responsible position, no one can advocate a boycott. Not from our side of the business, we cannot advocate a boycott.
Well, listen, I think you wouldn't want to rob Auchinleck of the money as well, incidentally, because that would be the first one. Look, but before we get to that, based on what I'm hearing from you, John, you don't actually feel like yesterday was a surprise then? You feel like you saw some of this coming?
Not that we have seen him in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Even when Martin and I was here, I was on the other week when he played St. Martin at Paisley. That's the worst. I've been going to Parkey for 50 years. That's one of the worst performances I've seen in years. Not one shot on goal. They took Kuhn away and they took Kyogo away last year. And Meander was another one. 90 goals between the three of them. 90 goals was out of that team. And you're never going to get a bag this season. They can't score goals. They can't defend goals.
I know you feel like the problems run deeper than the manager, but how do you feel about him?
You've got to give the guy a chance. The guy's only in 3 games. You've got to give him in January. Every other manager gets a transfer window, so why not give this guy a chance?
Well, that's up to the board. They have to decide whether they can trust the manager and Paul Tisdale, because Paul Tisdale's record so far does not merit close scrutiny. And the board have a big decision to make, because they know that they have been blamed for an atrocious transfer window in the summertime. Everyone can see that over the course of 2025, quality has drained away from the Celtic squad and mediocrity has been brought in, high-priced mediocrity, and this window could have the remainder of the season riding on it. So you get this window wrong, you have nowhere to go.
The thing we've heard a few times, Andy, is do you trust Wilfried Nancy to be the manager that takes you into the transfer window? But a lot, I feel like that question is obviously based on, it's still like this was last three performances, so nothing else to go on. Can you rob a manager the chance at a transfer window when he might be incredible at recruiting players? Well, clearly I'm not saying he is, I've got absolutely no idea, but you get what I mean. What we've established is that he's not been very good at leading the team in the last three games. Has that got any direct bearing on whether you so-called trust him to be in charge during a transfer window?
If you keep him, the only trust can be how much do you give him to spend. But listen, I feel as if he's going to get the transfer window. Hugh's mentioned crisis, a couple of callers have mentioned crisis. I don't think at this moment in time Celtic are in a crisis, but it stinks at a start of a crisis if they have a January transfer window like they had in the summer, and like we say, the inevitable at this moment in time, which seems to be that Wilfried Nancy doesn't last the end of the season.
Totally understanding where you're coming from, John, in the sense that 3 games is just a mad amount of time to sack a manager. But do you think he can pull this back? Does it not feel like the road is extremely long at the moment?
You've got to give him a chance. We'll get back at Rodgers a couple of months ago. Rodgers must have seen that it was coming around the corner. He asked to get quality players in as well on the board. He's saying, like, no, we're not going to give you any more money. We're not going to give you any more money because you've signed a lot of deed with as well. So it's been coming with Celtic. It's been coming, as I say. We're rank rotten.
The biggest problem, John, the players, I don't think, trust them. And Andy has highlighted one or two examples of players like Luke McCowan coming over and saying, what am I supposed to be doing here? In game, he got more and more confused yesterday. And by the end, it was an embarrassing, humiliating shambles.
Is there a danger that we start looking for those things or noticing those things when the defeats are there? Do you know what I mean? Like, how would we know that kind of chicken and egg thing? What comes first?
I just think that it's been there from day one, and I'm not going on about his magnetic tactics board, which wasn't there yesterday. But
it can't. But do you know what I mean? It kind of it almost does fester from that. Because see, yesterday at one point, he brought who was it? Did go to him, and he was showing somebody something in a bit of paper. That felt to me like he probably wanted to use his tactics board there.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden he was told after game one you can't do that.
Stephen Robinson, an honest to goodness everyday football manager, ran the game, knew everything about Celtic, handled it accordingly, and as the game progressed, Wilfred Nancy got more and more confused.
There was a time, Andy, though, and again this is not to take anything away from St Mirren, there was a time where I'm not saying Celtic's tactics wouldn't have mattered, but there have been, you've seen it yourself, you've been in the receiving, there are times when they've got 11 better players than you and they will find a way to win. But is this where we're seeing the combination of problems for Celtic? Because that's not there anymore. Celtic teams in the past probably could have got their tactics wrong and still won the game. Mm. But that's just not there anymore.
I mean, I would almost argue they'd done that a month ago under Martin O'Neill when they went to Paisley. And listen, Paisley's a really difficult venue for any team in the league. But I thought that Celtic went to Paisley on the night. I thought St Mirren were the better side. But they found a way to win.
Every time, when we actually look back on it, the last game of last season at Celtic Park, St Mirren were the better team. James Forrest got Celtic out of bother with a 1-1 draw. The first game of this season, St Mirren went to Celtic Park. St Mirren were the better team. Luke McCowan got Celtic out of Stuck by scoring a deflected goal 3 minutes from time. And now the ultimate has happened, and Celtic have lost a cup final to St Mirren. But my basic point is that this game, in isolation, a cup final, the manager of Celtic got more and more confused as time went on, and the team got more and more disoriented, and we ended up with James Forrest in central midfield.
But all of that stuff does point to a bigger problem, doesn't it? The wider spread problem than just the manager.
Yeah, well, the quality again. You can't overlook the quality question, that the quality is not there. But a very good Celtic side, a fine Celtic side, is now a bang average Celtic side.
You've got a brilliant analytical mind with the tactics and stuff, Andy, and you're showing me screenshots of different positioning and all that, and you're watching it on TV, but there was just something, see, being in the stadium yesterday, I'm really glad I was there, just to, you know, that eye test when you're there. I couldn't believe some of the individual performances from Celtic players. I know that people then say, yeah, but they're in the wrong areas then, and the jobs they've been asked to do, and blah, blah, blah. But seriously, just that being able to pass the ball, or being able to win a duel, or being able to run, like,
yeah,
it cannot all be tactics.
And see, in terms of tactically, I thought Celtic had a 25 minute period where they were decent, because Iheanacho was really good. I actually thought there was some of the patterns of play that happened when he was off the pitch with Johnny Kenny, when Johnny Kenny came onto the pitch. I thought the same patterns were there, but Iheanacho was holding the ball up with somebody right up his backside and nobody in front of him. He was spinning out of pressure. I thought he was making really difficult situations stick for Celtic, which then allowed Celtic to be, as I said, decent for 25 minutes. I thought with him and Kieran Tierney, probably the two for me that I got pass marks, but individually through the rest, I thought they had a really off day. It's because for me, it's too early, right? I don't think Wilfried Nancy at this moment in time should be sacked, but managers make early impressions on players, and likewise, players make early impressions on managers. I worked under a Rangers manager that within a week, you knew he wasn't going to last long, and you do ask the questions right now, is that what the Celtic players are feeling?
Thank you very much to John, who says that Celtic were bad for his health yesterday. Mark in New Mains, I wonder if you'd go that far.
Well, where did I start? I mean, I was sitting there, the guy there, I'm never one for knee-jerk reactions where, you know, sack a manager, you know, don't give him a chance. I've always like, you need to give a guy a chance to implement everything, but I'm lost with this guy, I really am. I mean, I was thinking before he even touched down in Scotland, we've unearthed a gem here. It's no, you know, just with the small track record that he's got, it looks as if he could be something really special. But what I'm seeing, the stories coming out to some of the players and stuff, it's horrifying, mate. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I honestly think if we get this guy a January window and all this, it's going to get worse. I would write the season off if the plan is keep him. If the stories are coming out to the players that are true, that there's no confidence and stuff like that, I'd pull the plug on it. Just come out and go, thumbs up. It was an absolute, you know, terrible decision to bring him in and just pull the plug and get Martin back. I really would. And I think the majority of Celtic fans are all coming out and going down this route as well, where we've made a huge error with this guy. I just don't see him winning his hour. I don't see him winning the players' hour. I just, again, it's I might be reading into it a bit with stories that's coming out to players like Luke McCown and things like you talk about, but I would pull the plug, and I can't believe I'm saying that after three games, you know, what, 10 days, 11 days, and I'm like, I pray I'm wrong, but I think Celtic will give him the January transfer window, and it won't get any better. It won't get any better. If he does get the January transfer window, I'm convinced he won't see the end of the season.
Sorry, yeah, I was going to ask you, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but people, to be fair, did speculate as to whether this is an issue. Is there a possibility that he gets put in at a different time, at a different week, and it doesn't play out this way? You know, he gets a so-called easy fixture that allows you to get your methods across. You maybe win a game, and then all of a sudden people just buy into what you're doing a little bit. Now, knowing what we know, does it change your thoughts on the wisdom of him being appointed ahead of this week?
I'm old-fashioned. I believe that when you're appointed manager of Celtic or Rangers, you are being handed a great honour. Clubs with history and tradition. Therefore, if you think, well, we'll make him the manager, but better leave it until that game's over and that game's over, that is not, for me, handing over history and tradition and heritage to a man who is deserving of that. That's you hedging your bets before he even gets here.
Do you think because of who the guy was in the middle, though, you could have spun that? You know, I get what you're saying generally, but almost along the line, you know, Martin O'Neill got us to the cup final. Martin O'Neill deserves the cup final, and then it's the big farewell. Would there have been too many complaints if that had happened?
But then the counter argument to that is that Martin goes down heavily to Roma. Martin goes down heavily to St Mirren.
But people keep telling us they don't think that would have happened.
But that's a supposition on their part, and we can't deal in supposition. You can only deal it in the hard facts. And for me, I go back to it. I'm an old guy with old fashioned values. I believe if you're made the manager of Celtic and Rangers, you are handed history and tradition and heritage, and you don't hedge your bets. You say, we believe implicitly in this man. And by the same token, if your appointment is a disaster, I believe you should hold your hands up and tell the truth.
I get that, Andy. It just feels like the schedule that, I mean, Celtic, Martin O'Neill was updating people when he was leaving, when he wasn't. He takes the game, and then Celtic play, what was it, about that being 3 days later with a different manager? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not as old fashioned as you. I said that a couple of weeks ago, I'd say it again. Ultimately, who did you feel was the best man to navigate what was a massive three games? Now, Celtic board should feel it was Wilfried Nancy, because that's the man they were appointing. But I think everyone else from the outside felt as if it was Martin O'Neill. And you talk about trying to get some goodwill back from the fans. I thought the fans would have been delighted if it was Martin O'Neill over the three games. And again, I'm not going to say it's going to, buy the board time or win every day back over, but I think you were almost hedging your bets a little bit. But then now, when the worst possible thing that could have happened was that he did come in that period in time and he lost the three games.
Because Martin O'Neill's PR could have handled a heavy defeat against Roma.
Yeah.
But Wilfried Nancy's couldn't.
It also didn't help that he said today that he would have stayed if he got offered it as well.
Anyway, thank you very much to Mark. Right, I'm quite excited about this. I want to thank everyone so much who got involved in the Cash for Kids sports auction on Saturday. Let me give you a final update on it.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Yes, from all the lots we had running on the show, our silent auction over the weekend, we raised £58,497, including £1,000 donated by Mr. Hugh Keevans, of course. That's going to help over 16,000 disadvantaged children in Glasgow in the West. And we've given away almost all of our prizes except one. It was the big one. You've all been entering over the last few weeks to win a brand new car, a JQ5 Pure, kindly donated by Arnold Clark. And it was amazing because all you had to do was donate £5 to Cash for Kids. I'm so conscious every year that not everyone can bid thousands of pounds for auction items, but £5 to Cash for Kids and you could win the brand new car. It's an amazing piece of machinery worth over £24,000. And now we find out who has won it. Myself, Hugh Keevans, Andy Halliday. We made that call a short while ago. Let's find out how it went.
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
It's Desmond Meekin speaking.
Desmond Meekin. It is Gordon Duncan, Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. How are you?
I'm fine, Gordon. How are you doing yourself? I haven't listened to the show tonight because of the bad result yesterday.
Don't ask what team you support then, obviously. Then we've got a Kelly fan on the line, no?
No, not a chance. No.
I think I can read between the lines. Desmond, did you happen to enter any of our competitions recently?
I did. I entered, I think it was a Cash for Kids, yeah.
Do you remember what the prize was? So all you had to do was give £5 to Cash for Kids and then you were in the draw for the brand new JQ, yeah?
Wow. So well, I won the car?
You've won the car, Desmond. You've won the car.
Thank you very much, Gordon.
A brand new JQ5. If you are interested in these things, Desmond, it's worth over £24,000 and it is yours, all yours.
Very good. And if Gordon DL done a test drive, I'll take his word it's a good car.
He did. They cleaned the seats, though.
Desmond, congratulations, but make sure you read the T's and C's because in the contact, you have to pick Hugh Keevans up at 6:05 on a Friday.
Well, that's not a problem. As long as they get some predictions right, I'll pick him up.
Well, that'll not happen.
Hey, I predicted Celtic yesterday.
Oh, I know, Hugh, but what can we do? Good luck to St Mirren, by the way. They played well, deserved it.
Well, listen, Desmond, I know your team ruined your weekend, but you've got a brand new car out of it, if that softens the blow at all.
Well, yeah, it certainly has, Gordon. Yeah, brilliant.
Good man. Well done to you, Desmond. Congratulations again.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Have
well
a
done.
Good evening. Thank you.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Another week, another failed attempt at the Pundit Predictor. Every Friday we ask you to pick three games, pick the outcomes. It sounds simple. Friday, Sean Carntine, and he only got one of the three again. I need to find out the stats. I think we've done this 18 weeks. I don't even think we've got two out of three that often. He went for a Morton win against Airdrie. Didn't happen. Went for a Hearts win against Falkirk. That came up. And he went for a Celtic win against St Mirren. I don't know if you've heard that. That didn't happen. News reached you?
No.
Good, right, okay.
You should give advice for the predictions. You're good at them.
Don't anyway. Wind me up. They can't win. The listeners can't win.
Sean missed out on £1,700, which means another £100 to the pot thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. It's your last chance before Christmas. £1,800 this week. So get involved on Friday. Pundit Predictor, thanks again to McNair's Building Supplies. We're underway at Ibrox. I don't know. Might as well. It feels weird. It's a Monday night. This game has become an afterthought. Give us a prediction then. Come on then. Pack yourself up.
I go Rangers 2-0 because Hibs are spineless.
Oh, okay. Well,
Hibs will score, that's for sure. I'll go Rangers 2-1.
If Hibs don't score, I'll be on here on Friday and you're the first to
Rangers,
get it.
Hibs will score.
So, you know, spineless Hibs are 2 points behind Rangers at kickoff, though. It feels a bit unfair.
Yeah, but when Hibs play big teams, they're spineless.
Honestly, like your levels of confidence go straight down as soon as you say that. No. They really do.
Anyway, another big story today. It would have perhaps demanded a lot more time in the show if it wasn't for events yesterday, but we've had a high-profile Premiership managerial casualty. Kelly have sacked Stuart Kettlewell. Robert's a Kelly fan. Your reaction, Robert?
Evening, gentlemen. Hope you're all well.
Good, thank you. What are you thinking?
It was a foregone conclusion. I don't know how he got the job in the first place. He's just when Derek McInnes left us, I come on to your show and I says, I hope it's no one of the usual suspects we get as a manager, and we got Kettlewell. And I thought, oh, here we go. And there you go, a few months later, he's gone as well. You know, when we appointed the likes of Dermot McInnes and also Stevie Clark, it showed if we get a decent manager, we actually can be quite a successful wee club. You know, we can climb the league and kind of do quite well. But we have to do something better than just the likes of, well, Getwell, to be honest.
Were you surprised, Hugh, when you heard the news in any way?
No, not at all. We've had two managerial sackings in 48 hours, Tony Docherty at Ross County and Stuart Kettlewell at Kilmarnock. In both instances, I think the club have taken cognizance of where they are. Ross County, bottom of the championship. Killy, 3 points above Livy, who have a game in hand over them. So we're approaching the halfway stage in the season, and I think both clubs have said to themselves, given the run that we are on, we're not confident that this particular person can prevent us from being relegated. Therefore, for the good of the club, we have to make a change and we have to prevent that from happening. That's the way you look after the company's business.
I think the only distinction, Andy, clearly would be Ross County are a million miles away from where they should be, mm-hmm. whereas Kelly are possibly a bit away from where they should be. But Robert clearly feared that it was going to get worse, and it was. It's obviously a manager you know well. What was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I wasn't too surprised, got to be said. I think Robert, along with other Kilmarnock fans, weren't too delighted with the appointment, so it felt as if you had to be almost, certainly not perfect, but you couldn't go on a run of 10 games without win. And listen, it was part of a club with Stuart Kettlewell last year that went 15 games without a win, but he probably had some credit in the bank at Motherwell, given how he did the season before. Clearly, he didn't have that credit in the bank at Kilmarnock. So when I seen the second goal going for Aberdeen and then ultimately the full time whistle, I wasn't too surprised to see the news today.
I always think a very basic way of assessing a manager's success rate or not, Robert, is the team better than what it's showing? Should the manager be getting more out of the players that's there? Is the answer yes? Do you think that squad's better than where it sits in the table?
I think it is. I think he started, so he has this obsession with playing three at the back. And we don't have the players to play three at the back. When we lost the likes of Stuart Finlay and several others last year, they were the ones that were holding their defence together. And we don't have that in defence, you know. And it's really, really sad because I don't want to see any guy losing his job. You know, it's a terrible thing. But the team is better, but we need somebody who's going to come in the January transfer window and try and get us something else in that defence, because it's the defence in the up front where we're lacking, but especially defence and especially the goalkeeper. The wee lad we got for Celtic's actually no bad, but he'll be going back to his own club probably. We've only got him to, I think it's January.
Very quickly, Andy, I don't think I can launch a strong defence of Stuart Kettlewell. I don't think I could change Robert's mind. They did lose a lot of quality in the summer. It's not easy to replace that. I know he recruits the players that you try and replace it, but I always feared a little bit for Kilmarnock this season.
Yeah, well, listen, losing Vassell, losing Armstrong, losing Stuart Finlay, three of arguably your best players last season, so it was going to be difficult for them. But I think, again, you look at the run of results, the manner of some of the goals that they're conceding, it almost felt as if there was an inevitability. Sorry about it.
How many Mondays do we say we could extend the show for another couple of hours? We really, really mean it. I mean, seriously, this was... I can't believe that's it. Over in the blink of an eye. Plenty more to come tomorrow. We'll reflect further, I'm sure, on Wilfried Nancy's standing, and we'll know whether or not Rangers have beaten Hibs at Ibrox. That's underway and it is still goalless. Well done to James, who was calling from Port Glasgow. He is the winner of the tickets to Air Races. We said every caller who came into the show tonight went into the hat for a pair of tickets, so well done to James. Thanks for all your calls, all your tweets, your company. It was lovely to round off the Cash for Kids section as well and give away the brand new car to Desmond. Happy driving to him. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow, so enjoy the rest of your Monday.